Let the show begin. You guys have fun out there today.
Hello, and welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content is simply the opinions of the hosts and our guests. So, without delay, let me introduce our hosts, George, Tom, and Kelly.
Hello, and welcome to episode 44, the Magnum episode. I just realized that. This week we have a special guest from Calgary Firearms Associate, University of Calgary Firearms Association, Delano, and we've got an interview with him for our main topic, and then some news, some emails, and very special what we did in guns this week. So I will start us off. And I was on holidays last week, so I did a ton of shooting. A ton of shooting. And, drum roll, bought my pink pistol. Bought Jessica's pink pistol, which is in my name registered to me and will be mine until she turns 18, and then she'll probably confiscate it from me.
Excellent.
So we had, did a bunch of range. Actually, at my holidays, the weekend going into my holidays, I went down to Ohio. You guys had mentioned that last
show. Hey, George, did you open carry in Ohio?
And I open carried in Ohio.
Damn!
And Wanda rolled her eyes.
Oh, Wanda didn't open carry either?
No.
That would have been so cool.
I carry my Leatherman on my belt every day, and it drives her nuts. She's like, why? So every time I go to use it, I'd like pull it out, and I'm like, good thing I have this with me so that I can use it in this application.
It's a tool, and you use it every day, just like if you're using a pocket knife. It's a tool. You got to use it.
Yeah, but she's grown up in a culture that frowns upon that, and she's in emergency services, right? So her job is you call the cops.
Yeah.
You know what?
Ambulance, right?
My philosophy is that too, or was that as well. But I'm seeing more and more usages for the Leatherman or a Gerber or whatever, a multi-tool, and so I am going to probably be getting one as well. I know I want one for my range bag, but I think I need to have one as well. And if we're talking about emergency services, it's very useful if you need to cut somebody out if they're in a car accident and cut them out with the seatbelt. Yep. Just saying. Or
it is I've used it to fix my truck. Now mind you, I don't drive a big truck. That's something else I did this week. Not in guns, but still something I'm very happy about. I drive a 5-ton right now, and I've had to fix, like, I'm not talking, you know, pop up the hood and, you know, I'm Mr. George the mechanic with his Leatherman. But, you know, there's been certain times where just little things have gone and it's like, oh, just pull up the Leatherman. Boom, boom, done.
I find mine at least once every day.
Yeah. So, anyways, a little digression there. So, yeah, I open carried and Wanda rolled her eyes. that was the weekend. Then I came into the week.
Did she shoot it all at least?
No, but she did take the hillbilly hay
ride. Well, that's okay.
Up the side of the mountain. When I say mountain, it's more the Appalachian foothills, but to me, it's still a mountain because it's bigger than any foothill we have in London. So
I have a question for you. I saw pictures of her and you.
Yes.
Did you get something in the mail?
Did I get something in the mail? Oh, yes. I forgot. Yeah, I missed last week's show, so I forgot to mention this. I'm like, get something in the mail. I got the Canadian Uzi.
Oh, yes.
And I keep saying it wrong, and I got scolded by Thomas, so he may never let Matthew send me another gun. The BRS? BRS. I kept calling it the BSR.
99.
The BRS. He sent me a message. He's like, yeah, I'm glad you're enjoying the gun. It's the BRS, not BSR. I'm like, whatever, it's the Canadian Uzi. So,
how was it?
I love the thing. I don't $1,500 love it. But I love the thing. And I did a little video.
Yeah, I saw it.
And I called Matthew a gun snob. And then he's like commented. He goes, gun snob. Yeah, okay, I am. I love it. I absolutely love it. I was actually going to mail it back to him, and he's like, ah, no hurry. So I've got, Eva's got a foreign exchange student coming down from France, and she wants to go to the gun range. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to hold on to it for another weekend, and because we're going to take her out and do a whole bunch of shooting and that, and I'll get her to shoot it and get the girls to shoot it again. Okay. So.
What about Brian? Brian was looking to actually have a turn with it as well. So, and you don't have to pay the shipping.
Boulevard? Oh, I had no idea. Nobody said anything to me.
The poor guy's never going to get his gun back.
Hey, you know what? This kid, Alex, was at my range, and we were chatting, and he's like, I said, I do a podcast and that, and he's like, oh, yeah, really? He goes, have you ever heard of the Slamfire guys? I'm like, yeah. He goes, yeah, I was there for the Tommy course.
Right.
He goes, I slept in Trevor's man cave. I'm like, how do you not know who I am? There's a great big giant picture of me on his wall. I'm like, look at me. And he looks at it. He goes, oh, yeah, you're the one with the hole.
You have a place of honor in the man cave.
Yeah.
So yeah, he...
You okay there?
It was kind of cool. I'm like, oh, my goodness, small world. So we were chatting, and awesome kid. Just, I don't know how old he's like maybe 18 years old. Typical 18-year-old, just, you know, just full of energy and just full of zeal. And he had a buddy with him out at the range. And he, when we went down range, he had his own target stand holder. And I'm not sure how the targets were attached. But he'd, like, do this spinning karate kick and kick it off and then put the next one on. And I'm like, that is, like, so awesome. Just that enthusiasm, that youthfulness kind of coming up the culture. Very respectful, very polite, just an awesome kid. I don't know if he's going to be listening to this.
Well, I was just going to ask, George, did you talk to him about New Shooter Canada and tell him to...
Yeah, well, that's
to like us on Facebook and to actually subscribe.
Thank you for subscribing and downloading.
There you go.
Yeah, he. That's what initiated the Slamfire talk, right?
Well, Alex, if you're listening, welcome.
So, I'll have to message Thomas, and if that's the case, because Wanda's like, why would you accept that? I'm like, because it's the freaking Canadian Uzi. How could you not accept it? She goes, do you have any... I thought he was out in BC. And he messaged me. He's like, yeah, don't send my gun to BC. I'm in Alberta. I'm like, yeah, Alberta, BC.
Oh, because Matthew was talking about that, and he said the guy was in BC.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. So I was like, ah, you know, close enough. You know, right,
yeah, no, Brian was talking about the fact that he wanted to actually, he wanted to try it, but it was going to you instead, so maybe you can arrange that with Brian. Oh.
Yeah, because Wanda's like, do you have any idea how much that's going to cost to ship out to BC? Yes. I'm like, don't know, don't care,
hey,
I
don't
got
you,
it.
Don't you have cut rates anyways? You do shipping, don't you?
No, my company's regional, Ontario, Quebec.
Okay.
So if Thomas wants to move to Ontario, never mind.
I went to SFRC, local supplier of the Wolf 9mm reloads, and they had one. They had put one out on display.
I think Kevin took a picture of it.
Yeah, he took a picture and he tagged you.
15.
I got to play with one on Saturday night. One of the guys at the Gunny Barbecue has that's what his trunk gun is.
I thought I saw one.
Yeah.
He was one of the guys standing at the end, right? Next to
you. Yeah, we went and did a photo shoot in Pierre's backyard, and then he had his BSR-99. Nice little gun. Like you said, I don't know if it's $1,500 nice, but...
Yeah, it's $1,500.
Yeah, it is fun. It is, like, I love that gun. It is a great gun. Matthew, I know you don't listen, but it's okay. I'm going to call you a snob anyways. What's the term? It's slide locked every single time for me. I had no failures, no nothing. It ran beautifully.
Now, those are actual...
It doesn't like snobs.
That's actual Uzi magazines, right? They're all pinned 5-round Uzi mags.
Yeah, they're pinned to 5. Yeah.
That's why
I'm assuming they're Uzi mags. I have no idea.
I think they are. I'd rather get...
They take 9mm.
I'd rather get the Beretta carbine, because you can pop 10-round handgun magazines in it and get 10 rounds.
So, George.
It was fun.
George.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. You were talking about what you did in guns.
Yeah.
Squirrel.
Blaine Kelly, she's the one that brought it up. Canadian Uzi. It rocks.
Well, we had pictures and video.
Yeah.
Evidence.
It's been like 3 weeks since I've been on show. I was like, holy cow.
It's been a long vacation.
That's why when I was driving back, it was like, I'm looking at the time and I'm like, let's record Monday. I don't want to miss another week.
So on that note, we were supposed to actually record last night, but what time did you get home?
It was after 11, just after 11.
Yeah, I was home by 9.
Right. And that's a great segue into what else you did in shooting this week.
What did I do this week?
Oh, I hadn't got to that point yet. I'm only up to like Tuesday.
Okay.
So then Tuesday, after shooting the BRS-99, affectionately called the Canadian Uzi, thank you, Thomas in Alberta, took Jessica to bullseye shooting in London here and to buy the pink buck mark. He couldn't get it. Goebbels had it on for 450. It was like 443 or something. But I'm just so... I'll buy my ammunition from there because the ammo counter girl is a sweetheart. Very, very nice girl. The gun counter guys are old boys club, and if, you know, we don't know you, you're going to stand there and wait for a half hour. I went to Goebbels because Bullseye couldn't get it. There was none in the supply chain. I literally said to the owner, I said to him, I said, are you serious? I said, Goebbels has it, but I don't want to buy it from them. I want to buy it from you. And he goes, I can't even give you an ETA. If they've got it in the display rack, go buy it. Get over there and get it now. He goes, I can't even get an ETA. And I'm like, fine, I'll go buy it from them.
Yeah,
and of course, Jessica's like, I don't care who I buy it from, just give me the gun. So we drove back across London and went and got it. And of course, I was chatting with, the listeners wouldn't know this, I was chatting with you guys on the Facebook Messenger thing, and Thomas says, so do you need to get an ATT? And I'm like, nope, doesn't look like it. And then all of a sudden the lady is like, okay, well, once registration's done, they'll send the ATT. And I'm like, beep, 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 beep.
I know, I called the CFO, or Firearm Center.
You know what kills me? And when so that was Tuesday. Wednesday, I can't remember what I did Wednesday. I don't think I did any shooting Wednesday. Thursday, I'm running around and get the phone call that everything's done. Yeah. Come pick up your gun. And I was like, awesome. So grab my kid and throw him in the car. And off we go. And so we get there. Everything goes smoothly. The CFO emailed both of us. So they had all the paperwork printed out for me. And I said to the guy, I said, this drives me frickin' nuts. Because the moment I step outside your door, it's covered under my long-term ATT. Because my long-term ATT says all restricted firearms registered to my address. This is now registered to my address. So the way I read it anyways is that it now falls under my long-term ATT. So it makes no sense.
We're talking about the CFO here.
I know. Well, you know, and I suppose if your gun shop is like 100 miles off course to your range or your home, you know, are you still within a reasonable deviation, right? So, in my circumstance, like, the gun shop is literally right around the corner from the club, you know, but still, I don't know.
It'll be over soon, George. It'll be over soon. Yeah. So how did the gun group work? So what kind of groupings was she getting on the target?
All over the place. But she loves it.
The main
and
thing
she's
is
happy
she
with
loves it.
It. She and loves it. You know what you know what she does do? She slaps that trigger like it's a bad kid. Just slaps it. And I've never really said anything. I just, you know, I'm like, just make your holes, be happy, and be joyful and gleeful, and woohoo, yay. So this time, now I'm kind of like, well, and I don't know anything about pistol shooting, but I know a little bit of fundamentals. So I showed her about the trigger reset. So she was starting to work on that, And she's still all over the paper, but you know what? She's happy. She loves it. She's slinging lead down range, making holes. She's on paper anyway.
And it fits her hand okay? And it's,
yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. It fits great. And it's hard for me to really criticize her because I'm all over the paper, too.
So. They're a nice shooting little gun. They're very accurate, and they have a nice trigger.
Once I figured out the sight picture on it, I was doing a lot better. And it, we put maybe two... Well, I was already partway through the target ammo box, so maybe a couple hundred rounds through it that day. So I don't know what the break-in period is on it, but, you know, I'm sure it'll get better over the next couple hundred rounds, 800 rounds, whatever it
is. So what are you using? What type of target ammo?
Same stuff I got off Kevin on the weekend, the federal auto match, the auto match.
Okay.
So, and then... Dun, 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 maple seed.
You've had a busy week.
So, yeah, well, I was on holidays.
Oh.
What was that?
Hello?
It was the motorcycle.
We should mention that Thomas is not at home right now.
No,
he's recording from his car.
I'm at Richmond and George, just east of Jarvis downtown. I've got all the windows on. I just turned off the air conditioning, so... But I got to record with the windows rolled up. There's just too much street noise.
Yeah.
I have a crazy street person yelling right now, so I've got some entertainment.
That's awesome. That takes us to Friday, and went to Bancroft, and then we had the maple seed on the weekend. So we're actually going to do our maple seed show next week. So I'm not going to get too in depth. I've got some shout outs at the end of the show for the folks that we met there and that.
Yeah.
So, the weekend we shot a maple seed. My best score in Michigan was 134. And one of the things they talk about when you do the red coats is they say, why do we get you to shoot at each one three times? And the reason is the first shot could have been lucky. Second shot could have been a coincidence. The third shot shows consistency. Mm-hmm. And so I had that at the maple seed. My best score was 138. I scored a 137 and a 135. So I got three targets. Now we're talking like barely better than Michigan. But I got that consistency. I got three scores above Michigan. And you know what? I can't complain because I did not put in... the training and the practice that I should have. So
how long did you have my rifle for?
I'm quite happy.
A while.
Yeah, shut up.
But I'm very, 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 very proud of you. You did really well. And you know what?
You
had fun. You had a lot of fun.
I did.
You had the biggest smile on your face.
I learned from Michigan. The Saturday, I hated Appleseed. And I was like, they should take this program and shove it up their back end. I was so frustrated. I was snapping at Stacy and Sticks.
And me.
And they were like, yeah, at everybody. I was just miserable. And then Sunday, I start popping the Advil and the Tylenols before we even mm-hmm. started. And then Sunday, I had a great time. Did the same thing this week. At the maple seed, first thing I did was
you self-medicated
Advil.
Yes, it does help.
Yeah, and two Advil. I have 400 milligram Advil and two Tylenol ones, and I had no pain. I was comfortable. I was enjoying it and loved it. I had a great time.
That's good.
I found the same thing. The Saturday it was brutal. The Sunday I medicated and it was much better too.
Mm. Yeah. So. And that's what I did in
Guyana. Excellent. Good job. You had a great week.
Sounds like fun.
I did. About 19 minutes worth of greatness. Yeah.
Thomas, what did you do?
I see. I spoke online with Mark from Trigger Wholesale, who's distributor of the new Mendoza Puma model rifles here in Canada. And he offered to send us a test rifle to do a T9 on it. So we'll do much more in-depth evaluation of the rifle in the next couple of weeks because we have to do the maple episode. Episode first, but maybe Kelly and I can go to the range and we can both test fire the rifle and see how it fits her. The one thing I want to do, it's a tube-fed autoloader, but it's supposed to be able to take short, long, and long rifle interchangeably, which is kind of strange. I've never seen that. So I'm just curious to see how it cycles. I could probably find some 22 shorts kicking around. I haven't seen 22 longs in a long time. But no, we'll give it a try, see how it functions. And then Saturday, I went to a barbecue at Pierre and Jen's house, met some old friends and made some great new friends. The menu, it was excellent. The barbecue was consisted of octopus, chicken feet, just the legs and the feet. Don't ask me why. Venison sausage, and Ryan cooked a bear roast. It was really good. And then we played this really politically incorrect card game, Something Against Humanity. I think Wanda was talking about it. The Appleseed.
Yeah.
Yeah, her niece has
humanity. Sorry.
Yeah, her niece has that game. They were playing it. I don't know. The last family function we're at.
Well, it's so politically incorrect. You can't buy it at a store. You have to order it online, and it was bad. I mean, bad, bad, bad. But that said, I'd play it again. It was a lot of fun. And guess who won?
Tracy.
Yep, Tracy's Wilson. She's cute, but she scares the hell out of me. We were ambushed with rubber dart guns as we entered the house, and she's lurking around the corner. She nailed everybody with a rubber dart gun. So when she was least expecting it, I grabbed out the guns and I nailed her all at once later on in the evening. So I got back, and then Sunday I didn't shoot. I did go up to the Maple Seed, and I was great to see that we had so many listeners actually at the event, and the American crew that set it up really impressed the hell out of me. They did a great, great event for us, and the patch is cool.
Yeah, the patch is really, really cool.
So
now, don't you wish you had come and not been a rifleman patch snob?
When I saw the patch, I was disappointed I didn't come, because I was off that weekend.
Yeah, I'm kind of grateful you didn't come, because I got to shoot your rifle. Actually, you know what? I could have probably used the Marlin, because the Marlin's that's an awesome rifle.
It does it now. Is that magazine? Is it 10 rounds in the Marlin?
Yes, I believe okay, so. Yeah, I just got caught up on last week's show, and it doesn't drop free, but it does.
There were some other people using it.
And they are hard to find.
Because thinking of the Papoose, there was one guy shooting it, but the Papoose Marlin only holds 7 rounds. So yeah, I think that one does, 795 does hold 10.
Hmm. Yep.
Okay. So, that it?
That's it. That's all I did.
Okay. So this week I did, I was actually getting ready for Maple Seed, so we went to the range quite a bit on Monday. We went Friday as well. We had Jazz down in Kingston, so we went with Jazz on Friday, which was good. We got to show him around Frontenac Range, which he loved, and we got to try out our rifles and shooting and that. And I was practicing my seated position. I was really, really happy with it. I was shooting rigged targets, and I actually posted one on.
You're shooting freaking excellent targets.
Yeah, so I posted that, but anyways, so
I might have shared that a few times.
Yeah, you shared it actually a couple of times, didn't you?
Yeah, I shared it with every
I went to Maple Seed with some performance anxiety, I think.
I'm sorry.
Don't worry, Kelly. I scolded him in private messaging.
Yeah. So, I went to Maple Seed this weekend, and it was awesome. I really, really enjoyed it. I was really anxious and going into it. I wanted to achieve rifleman if I could get it. I had been practicing for it. I was very, very happy with the fact that I had improved over my Appleseed scores. Appleseed, I think my highest was 138. My highest at Mapleseed was 199. So I was happy, but I was kind of disappointed too because I didn't actually achieve my goal. But my goal was to get the rifleman's patch. But I was still happy with it. I did receive a few things. I received looks like 3, 4, 5 burns from Casey.
Yes, right above your eyebrow.
I got one in the eye, and It got caught behind my glasses.
So you even had your hat on, too.
Yep, went in between my hat and my glasses, and it stayed there, and I didn't move it because I was shooting, so, it, you know, I have to finish the course of fire and then move it, but I do, I woke up today with quite a nice blister on my eye, and I got a couple on my arms and that as well, but the other thing I have, too, is I have some really nice bruising on my arm where the sling was, so, and also from laying on different things and that too. So, that was good. What else? I shot the red coat, and I did pretty good with that. I got the 100, 200, 300, and 400. Didn't shoot the Morgan shingle, though, so I didn't blow through the whole entire, course of fire target, whatever it is. So yeah. We only shot two of them, which was a little different. We shot one at the very beginning, and we shot one at the very end. And I was consistent. I was able to do the 100, 200, 300, and 400 on both of them, but I missed Morgan shingle on both of them as well.
I got the 300 for the very first time.
I know, that was so funny.
At the end of the weekend, I was like 3 millimeters away from getting the 400, and I was about a quarter inch below Morgan shingle, which is about the closest I've ever got to it. So I was, I definitely improved over
the
weekend.
Yeah, I took a look at yours, and I was really happy for you.
I totally muffed the 100, the easiest target, and I muffed it. I'm like, seriously? That's the only one that I've ever been consistently on.
Well, I think it's because of the fact that you started at the 100 and it's your warm up, and then you start really concentrating on the 200 and the 300 and the 400.
It's a tough course
and
of fire.
It's something that it.
No, it's not.
And it showed to me that my biggest struggle with Appleseed is myself. If I throw one, I'm almost guaranteed to throw two more, and this is what part of my problem in Michigan was, is I couldn't recover, and I was getting so frustrated, and that was something that I improved on this.
My problem. If it was the practice round, so if it was the red coat, it was awesome. If it was with the setting and targets, again, I was shooting ragged holes, but when it came time to count the AQTs, I was not able to get past the mark. And in my practicing, I had achieved the rifleman score a couple times, but I just wasn't able to achieve it this time. I was putting too much pressure on myself. My best one, or I thought it was my best one, was the first one that was being marked. And they weren't marking all of them. They were marking the ones that, when they went up and had a look at it, they said, you know, you should probably go and have that one marked. And so I brought it up, and it came to a 208. But when we rechecked it, it was actually only 198. And I was excited because I thought, you know, the first one, woo! And then but no. So what it means is, I put too much stress on myself, and two, I just need to. It's like going to the range and practicing. That's what it has to be, and that has to be my new mantra. So I am going to be signing up for another apple seed or maple seed or seed of some sort. Maybe the Michigan one. I'd like to do it again with down in Michigan with Stacy.
Stacy was busting my chops about going to Ohio too much, so I said, okay, next trip is to Michigan.
Well, Trevor wants to do it in February when he's on March break, and we'll all get our winter pack if that happens.
Well, that sounds good to me. Yesterday was blistering heat, and the day before it was almost like, we were camping. Now, whose idea was that?
Yeah, I was just going to say, whose bright idea was it to go camping? So,
you should have seen you two when I pulled up there on Sunday. You two were mud from head to toe. Just absolutely filthy and soaked. So was Kevin. So you've been laying in the mud all day long.
Well, yesterday was...
Because it rained the night before, so everything was still wet.
Well, no, it had just finished raining before you showed up.
Oh, it rained again, okay.
Yeah, the sun was shining and it was raining. The Americans were like, what kind of weather do you Canadians have up here? Even your storms are polite. It's shining while it's raining.
Well, Saturday was not polite. Saturday was downright deluge. And then we also had thunder and lightning. The winds picked up. You know the canopies that they have usually and you sit under for sunshade and all that? Well, we had canopies flying all over the place. We had signs being knocked over. We had... Actually, the Canadian flag fell over. I didn't notice it, but Kevin did, and he went and picked it up. So that was admirable on his part.
When the lightning bolts started striking on the other side of the berm, that was when it's like, okay, we're all holding on to metal canopies, lightning rods, let's get out of here.
And so we just bailed. We packed up our guns, and we went in, and we had some teachings. Which was good. It was a good time to do it. So we could Saturday, we'll do the teaching. Sunday we did the course of fire, and we did it over and over, over and over to dimension over again.
We sighted in, and then it was AQTs the rest of the day. They were getting a little, I don't want to say pissy, but they were getting a little frustrated because no butts were wiggling.
My butt was wiggling.
Was mine. But he made a statement. He goes, you know, you'll get the fake wiggle where the person will just wiggle their body, but they're not moving.
I remember him saying that.
After that, I made a point of making sure I felt my body lift, and all of a sudden my targets, my prone shooting, tightened right up.
Oh,
and I'm like,
that's awesome.
I must have been one of them wigglers. I must have been a wiggler.
I have to apologize to you, George.
Again?
What? Why? Yeah, well... I do. I have to apologize to you because every time we were down in the prone position... first day, Kevin and I were shooting side by side. But the second day... Like, the first day, Saturday, Kevin and I were shooting side by side. And I kept getting his casings... all over my arm. I kept getting burns, everything. So the next day when he said, well, I'm bringing the center fire out, I'm going, no, you're moving.
You're moving away from me here.
No, you're not.
She sent him to the end of the line.
I did. Anyway.
She did. Poor Kevin.
And Josie Wales, or Nick, he's going, uh-oh. We've got to separate you two. So, because Kevin was going, he was coming up beside me, and I'm going, no, you're not, you're shooting center fire, you're going down to the end of the line. I said, I don't want any of your hot brass on me. Had it all day yesterday. So that
I love you, dear, but move down.
Yeah. So that meant George pushed over. George fires left-handed. I fire right-handed. So what it meant was, we're both our non-shooting leg. We're both touching each other, and then when we had to actually shift for MPOA, like when I shift for my MPOA, I am almost like George took a break at one point, and when he left, I was literally laying halfway across his mat.
Yeah, I was going to mention this. I was sitting with Wanda. And I said to Wanda, I said, look, I said, her foot's like right on the corner of my mat. I said, if I was there, that'd be right on my calf. And she goes, yeah. She goes, she really sprawls. And then Kelly's doing her MPOA shifting. And she's literally straight across my mat. And I'm like, look at where she is. She's like wandering all over me.
What happened?
But you know what? I do the same thing.
We had the same thing in Michigan because we were shooting side by side, and I shoot right-handed and you shoot left-handed.
Yep.
When you moved to where Kevin was shooting, that was huge difference. Like, next time I go, because usually they try to put the lefties at the end of the line because our legs, the way our legs are, right? I'm taking full advantage of that because I did the same thing. I sprawled right out, and I'm like, look at all this room!
So
I could land a jumbo jet.
I think that was... I think that's part of my issue, or it was part of my issue, because of the fact, and that's why, and I, as I said, I apologize, and I told you this then, but when Kevin decided, Kevin got his rifleman, and he actually shot a couple more rounds of fire, and again, he got rifleman, anyways. Congratulations, honey. You did well.
You did very well.
Yeah. Anyways, so he decided at that point, again, blistering heat and everything, that he was satisfied with it and wanted to take a rest and get some hydration going and things like that. And there was only two AQTs left. So I asked if I could actually move down so that, because I kept... When I shift for my NPOA on the prone, I kept bumping into George, and I felt like I was actually impeding you and your score, and I thought that, you know, because we kept bumping into each other, and I felt badly about that. So I apologized. I got asked to get moved, and they were fine with that, but I got, you know, at the beginning of the day, yeah, I told Kevin I didn't really want to shoot beside him because of the fact that he was shooting his AR, and then I go down to the end of the line where an AR was shooting beside me, Kevin and I were talking about it on the way home, and he goes, yeah, he goes, you know what that is? And I said, what? And he goes, karma. And I said, but at least it wasn't, you know, on the other side. I said, on the other side was the guy that, there was a guy there, and he was using a tube-fed lever action, which was kind of cool. But his hot brass was actually landing on me as well. That was the one where I got the brass in the eye. So, but it was, I wanted to end on a good note, too. That was the 199 that I got, so that was good.
That was a good target.
It was okay.
Yeah, one had made the comment. She's like, "Oh, I feel so bad for Kelly. She really deserved the rifle."
But oh gosh!
I'm like, she did. I said she did. The amount of work she's put in at the range since Michigan, she deserved that rifleman's patch. Me, I deserved the score I got.
You know what I? But, you know what I was saying? I was saying, like it's been 4 months, and it has been. When did we go down to Michigan?
March?
Yeah, but when in March?
It was mid-March, towards the end.
22nd or 23rd-ish. It was near my birthday's at the end of March, and I know it was before then. So I said it to Kevin last night. I said, as we were traveling home, I said, you know, it's been 4 months since I've decided I like shooting. You know, other than just going to the range with him and that. So it's been 4 months, and it's been my mission to do well or improve on my Appleseed score. And I had really put a lot of pressure on myself to get the rifleman. But in 4 months' time, I went from a 138 to a 199, so I should be happy with that.
Oh, yeah. Plus, we put a lot of pressure on you, too. I kept teasing you and saying that it'd be George. So I didn't help either. So, but you did awesome.
Thank you.
And you did awesome.
Yeah. When we were doing the sighting, and George looks at Nick and says, just give her the patch. And I'm just going, oh, man. As I said, performance anxiety.
Did I jinx you?
No. What it was... me putting a lot.
Blame
no,
Thomas.
It was me putting pressure on myself. So
I felt so horrible because you're walking away after that last target, and I could see the disappointment in your face, and it just broke my heart. So I walked up to her, and I tapped her on the shoulder, and I said, "You did good, buddy. You shot really good." She's like, "Yeah, okay, thanks." I felt so bad for you.
Just it's not a rifleman.
you'll get it next one, yeah, for sure. And you'll keep getting them.
Well, I'm thinking about it. Well, you know, as I said, that's a huge improvement. It's the consistency, right?
The next Appleseed will all go to.
Okay, there's one. The next one that I know about is down in Ohio in September after the course we're going on.
No, Appleseed, not Mapleseed. Oh, yeah, shoot.
Yeah, down
I'm on holidays in September. Oh, I'm on vacation.
No,
Yeah, I won't be able to go.
Yeah,
either.
I said I have to choose either between the course that we were already signed up for with Brian, or the Appleseed he's putting on. So I said I've committed to the other course first. So, but we'll see what happens, because we're also looking at potentially trying to host another Appleseed maybe in our vicinity as well.
That would be nice, because they were very interested in getting a chapter going up here.
Yeah, they were. I think that, well, there were three people who achieved the Rifleman patch, and they're looking at running a course perhaps, for trainers
Perhaps there's a new shooter Appleseed crew in the future.
Maybe. We never know.
Well, they said you need two shoots and your rifleman's patch. And the first time out, they might lower the requirements for the two shoots, maybe one shoot.
Right, that's for Canada.
Well, they're going to Appleseed will count as your Appleseed.
Right. I do want that
but
patch.
But the three of us already have two. Oh, that's right, Thomas didn't come.
Right. No. And
I did come. I didn't shoot.
Thomas is the only one with a Rifleman patch.
Don't build them up while I'm tearing them down.
Yeah, but Kevin has a much cooler patch
right
now.
So, are we good on that now?
Okay, we're done.
Okay, I'm just looking up 45 minutes, and we still have the interview to splice in.
And guns in the
How
news.
Long was the interview?
Silence.
Okay.
I sent you the file on the interview, but yes, we do have to do Guns in the News too.
Okay, so I will. We just got the one story. We're going to do Appleseed, which we kind of almost did, but we're going to do our Appleseed show next week. There was a bunch of listeners that came down, which was very very humbling. It was awesome that we have that kind of influence. So I was very humbled by that. So we're going to try and get them on next week. So we'll get their perspective.
And we're going to mention them in the show. So we'll,
It's kind of nice being recognized.
So guns.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is actually. Yeah.
So guns in the news, as Thomas has eloquently already mentioned. We just got one story. While this may not be gun related, we thought that this new law that protect police and service dogs would be interesting to our listeners. Thanks to a new law inspired by an Edmonton police dog, anybody convicted of intentionally killing a service animal can now face up to 5 years in jail. Oh my goodness. Quanto?
Yep.
Is that Quanto's Law, named after the Edmonton police dog that was stabbed to death while chasing down a suspect in a parking lot, officially came into effect on Thursday. Before then, animal cruelty was the strictest possible charge for people who killed or hurt police dogs, horses, and other service animals. The service that our dogs and service animals in general are capable of providing is really remarkable, said Sergeant Adam Sagan, the canine unit acting chief sergeant for the Edmonton Police. It's nice that there's now this formal recognition for their service, how valuable it is. Paul Joseph, not even going to try that name, was sentenced to 26 months in prison after pleading guilty to 6 charges in the Quanto case, including one for killing the dog. But the short sentence prompted concerns about the limited laws around service animal cruelty. In 2013, the Conservatives pledged to pass legislation creating a specific charge for harming service animals. On Thursday, Multiculturalism Minister Tim Apple joined Edmonton police officers to officially mark the enactment of the new law. This sends a strong message to anyone that was to injure or kill a service animal in the line of duty will be met with very serious consequences, Apple said. They are there to protect us, and we should be protecting
here,
them.
Here, here.
Yeah. No, in the armed forces, they're actual considered soldiers, are they not?
Yep.
I might get myself into a bit of trouble.
Go ahead, George.
Now, disclaimer, yeah. I own a dog, and I probably have more pictures on my phone of my dog than I do my kids. So, I love my dog. He's my buddy.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, you don't send an animal to take down somebody by biting them and tearing at their flesh and then go, really? They struck the dog? No way. So, I don't know. You know what? Are you going to start charging criminals for the bullets that the cops put inside them?
Well, you can fight off the dog, but killing the dog's a different story. And they're trained to, like you said, take off the calf muscle. They're trained to bring you down.
Yeah, they're trained to inflict damage upon your body. And they run a lot faster than the cops. And I've seen the TV show Cops. Those dogs are all over those criminals long before that command is given to release.
Well, so, you know what?
I'm not advocating killing a police dog. And I think, you know, it's one of those fine lines.
Okay, I have it.
If I'm getting attacked by a dog, I'm killing the effing thing. I'm sorry,
okay,
police dog
you're
or not.
5 years. Okay.
Apparently.
I know a guy that was taken down by a police dog, and it chewed the crap out of his calf.
Yeah.
He got chewed up bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
It all depends on how fast they release him, right?
I'm going to give you a little bit of input on this. That's my part in the show. Okay. Yeah, they're criminals. They're doing something they shouldn't be doing, and quite honestly.
So the cop should just pull his gun out and shoot the criminal right there.
Well, you know what?
We don't do things like that.
What do you want?
But sometimes you can't.
Seriously, what do you want? Do you want somebody to shoot them, or do you want to be stopped by a dog?
I'm not saying they should not be using the dogs, and I'm with you. They're criminals. So my sympathy level is zero, maybe a millimeter above zero for the criminal. All I'm saying is don't be surprised when the criminal, who's already breaking the law because that's why your dog's eating him, don't be surprised when the guy pulls out a gun or a knife and starts killing your dog.
Okay, Thomas?
Your dog's ripping him apart.
No, but I also think that the same thing is... Oh, I'm hearing feedback.
Thomas, you got us on speaker.
Doesn't sound like it. Hang on here.
Okay. So the other thing that I'm going to say is good.
Better.
The other thing I'm going to say is the dog. I don't like this, but the dog is there so that officers are not being attacked or being turned on with the knives and that as well. And yes.
Oh no! I
would rather
that,
a dog,
and
I hate to say it, I would rather a dog be killed than an officer be killed. But the reality is that dog is valuable as well, and it's seen as somebody who is valuable to the police force. I also know that dogs are used in other capacities other than chewing on somebody's leg. And hi.
Thomas sounds like he's inside a transformer.
They're police officers, so you're getting either taken down by the cop or you're getting taken down by the dog. But if you're a bad guy, you know, you're going to get taken down.
Well, I'm just going to tell you that we have dogs that work for us, and so does Canadian Border Service Agency. They sniff out
drug
bombs, drugs, everything as well. Now, I've seen some people act in some really terrible manners in regards to those dogs when they're coming down the ranges and the things that they do. And I've told some bad guys, I've told them, you know what, if you're going to act like that, you know. Anyways, that being said, service dogs are used in a variety of capacities. Not just as police dogs to go out and take down a criminal and chew their leg, but
this
yeah.
guide dog that covers guide dogs too.
Yeah,
it's a service animal registered.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah, no, I just I, you know, it's,
I don't think 5 years is long enough. Sorry.
No, I agree with Kelly.
They're a dog. They're an animal. Are you going to give somebody 5 years for running into a police car?
You didn't kill a police car.
It's an animal. We're not talking about a human being here. We're talking about an animal. An animal that is trained as a tool at the police officer's disposal. Just like his service weapon, just like his service car, the dog is just another tool at the officer's disposal. It's an animal. I'm not advocating, I love dogs, and I'm not advocating that criminals should be allowed to kill dogs. But I'm just saying, like, I don't know, I get really nervous when people start elevating animals beyond the state of an animal. They're not a police officer, they're a dog.
Yeah, but in the eyes of the law, they are. They're serving with that officer. He's his buddy, he's his partner. That, you know, that cop is going to do anything to protect that dog, and that dog will do anything to protect the cop. So
right.
As far as
right.
a police dog yeah. is concerned, I think you should get a few years for killing a police dog. I really do. Same if you killed an armed forces shepherd that does bombs. You know, they get their legs blown off all the time. They're treated like decorated veterans when they come back. You know,
and you know what? I've seen the YouTube videos, and you know, I get tears in my eyes. You know, and I get that, but at the same time, if your dog is chewing on a criminal, I'm sorry, but you're gonna have to expect that criminal is gonna do something to the dog. And I don't think if an animal is attacking a human being, it's only going to be natural for that human being to do whatever that is possible to stop that animal from attacking
yeah.
him.
You're right, but it's going to give him 5 years.
Yeah. So I know I'm sounding like a big jack, but you know I don't know.
Okay.
If somebody were to walk up and stab a blind man's dog. I'd be like, absolutely, 5 years. Because there's no reason for that. There's no. You're at the Pearson Airport, and you're trying to smuggle your grandmother's haggis in your luggage, and the dog catches you, and you kick the dog in the jaw, and it dies. Absolutely. You know what? Give that jack monkey 5 years. I have no problems with that. A person that's being eaten by a dog, chewed on by a dog, and then the person just instinctively does whatever they need to do to stop that animal from attacking it.
And you'll get 5 years.
I don't agree with that.
Well,
I don't agree
right.
with that.
Let's
we don't have to agree.
Because we're not agreeing.
No.
Which is fine.
So.
We don't have to agree.
So we segue. Perhaps. We have the interview with Delano coming up.
Yeah.
Yes. So let's break for that. And we will catch everyone on the flip side.
Hi, tonight we have an interview with Delano Civitaris, Vice President of Operations for the University of Calgary Firearms Association. Welcome to the show, Delano.
Thank you, and thanks for having me.
So you're a relatively new organization in the Calgary University?
So we've been around for just about 2 years. Our two-year anniversary, or birthday, or whatever you want to call it, will be on the 2nd of September.
Okay,
the 7th of the year, so yeah.
Okay.
And how many? When you first started, how many people did you get as members on your very first year?
First year, it wasn't quite as successful as this year has been so far. I'd say probably in our first year, we probably got around 40 to 50 members. And right now, honestly, we're looking at anywhere from 100 to 150 probably. It's tough to keep track just because memberships expire just since we have yearly memberships, stuff like that. And our record keeping hasn't been that great since, you know, if people show up at events, we just tend to let them shoot and have fun. But, yeah.
Okay. So, do you have your own ranges or do you rent, go off-site for ranges?
So, we don't have our own ranges. Most of our indoor shooting is done at Calgary Shooting Center in Calgary. It's an awesome facility. Their ventilation is world class, and their rangers are great, and their staff is awesome as well.
So none of you are communists, so that's good to hear.
they've been kind enough to let us in and give us discounts. So big shout out to them. They do a lot for us. We also shoot at one of IHEA's ranges, the Alberta Hunters Education Instructors Association ranges down in Duwinton. There's predominantly shotgun sports, so there's a lot of trap, a lot of skeet, even sporting clays down there. We primarily focus on trap, and we are starting to get into skeet as well.
Okay.
And then for a lot of our competition stuff, for more of our outdoor stuff. Buffalo Target Shooters Association, a branch of the Alberta Provincial Rifle Association, has been kind enough to let us use their lands from time to time for various competitions. We are actually out there today volunteering, being range officers for a program called Young Guns.
What's that about?
So it's run by the Buffalo Target Shooters Association. It's where they get students aged 7 to 15 out to shoot guns for the day, and there's a bunch of different things they can try, a bunch of different calibers, and it's honestly a lot of fun. They provide lunch, they provide the ammunition, and they just needed some extra range officers, so we brought a couple folks down from the club, and yeah, it was awesome.
How many kids showed up?
Today was one of the big ones, so it was around 10 to 15, I'd say.
Good.
Quite a few.
Good.
That's good.
I lost track. I was just rowing. I didn't notice how many there were. They kept coming back. That's all I know.
Okay. Delano, what's the ratio for female male participants in your club?
So, first year, it started off predominantly male, and I'd say that we probably only had like 10 to 15% being female. But we've kind of shifted our recruitment to accommodate females a little bit more. And we've actually expanded our executive team so that we have actually a quarter of our exec team is female now. So we got three girls on the exec team. And now we're probably looking at around 35 to 40% female.
Excellent.
That's good.
Did you have many young girls out today shooting on the youth shoot?
Today, no, there weren't too many girls. I believe there are only two, which is still all right.
So good.
But, yeah, we've actually had some women's-only shoots for the club, and I'm looking to plan one for probably in late August, so we'll see how that goes. But
that's good.
That sounds like fun. Well, let us know about the women's shoot. We'll see if we can promote it a little bit.
Sure, of course. Thanks.
Yeah,
what tends to be the most popular rifle or pistol with your shooters? Are most of your memberships pistol shooters, or are they long gun shooters?
It's really hard to say, because most of our members have never really touched a firearm before. So we're very focused on getting new people out on the range, and that means giving everybody a taste of everything.
So you're using club guns, or...?
Yeah, so they're club guns in the sense that they're club access guns. They're guns that are owned by the executives, but the club has predominant use of them. So as a club, we can't physically own entities such as firearms. But it's okay for the executives of the club to own the firearms and let members use them. So that's kind of the premise that we've been going on. And so we have, you know, a bunch of different guns that our members can use. You know, we have rifles, we have shotguns, we have handguns as well. During our Calgary Shooting Center events, which are the ones that we run the most since Calgary's Alaska for 10 months out of the year, you know, predominantly indoor events. So we provide three different calibers for free for our members, which is 22, obviously, 7.62 by 39 and 7.62 by 25. So anything chambered in that is obviously pretty popular because it's free. Other than that, a lot of our members like 9mm as a caliber, since it just has to do with the price. You can get quite a few rounds for, you know, $20, so people are more willing to try that out rather than something like, you know, a 308 or a 223, where things can get up a little pricey. So the main things that we've found with our club is that price is really a deterring factor with university students, which honestly is completely fair because most of us have zero money, and most of us are running on loans as well, so it makes sense that people don't want to spend a lot of money, and that was one of the reasons why we formed, just to get people out on the range for as cheap as possible and promote our hobby to people that probably would never get the opportunity, or at least not get the opportunity until they were done their degree.
Okay, so the club itself does not issue, you guys don't get the ATTs issued for the members?
No, we do not.
Okay. Well, they'll get their ATTs automatically when their farm, whatever, C42 exactly. comes through.
Exactly. I was looking into it, and, like, it is possible for us, but at the same time, it's too much paperwork.
Right.
So it's more of an introduction to shooting sports, so you're not actually have a club, but you're running a base of memberships and reporting to the CFO. It's more an introduction to the sport?
Yeah. I mean, in Alberta, there's really no organizations that are solely directed at getting new shooters into the sport. I mean, there's licensing organizations, sure, but they don't provide that one-on-one coaching or that one-on-one introduction that a lot of people need to, as like a kickstart, I guess, to get going. So as a university club, I mean, what better mind to teach than a university mind, right? So
what's the range fees when you go to the range?
So the regular rate at Calgary Shooting Center, for example, is like $40 just to get in. They've been kind enough to bump that down to $20 for us. So they let us in for half price.
Okay.
And as I said, we provide those three calibers for free. So a minimum price is, well, $20. A lot of our members just come in, shoot those three calibers for free. And, you know, on any given night, there will be members that have their own firearms, whether it be, you know, an AR, whether it be some sort of handgun or, you know, whatever people own. Then they're usually more than happy to let everybody pinch off a couple rounds before the end of the night. So
that's
not bad. So for $30, then we can go and learn to shoot a 22 pistol, put 100 rounds down range.
Oh yeah, well it's awesome. People always, most people who have been shooting in the past before but don't have their license, you know, they'll go out on their own and they're like, wow, I just spent like $150 and it's only been half an hour. Then you come shooting with us and 2 hours later, you've spent $20 and your shoulder's sore before the time's up, I guess, you know? Like,
so they don't have to have a firearms license to become a member of the organization?
Nope, they do not. We provide range officers for everybody there. And you honestly have to have no experience of firearms. You just show up and you get instructed. All of our range officers are, we have sort of our own little training process for our own range officers since there's no, like, national standard. But we make sure that everybody is obviously fully licensed and fully competent in firearms before we let them our members.
So you coach the new shooter on an individual basis. Do you hold classes or is it one-on-one all the time?
We don't really hold classes, but, you know, if somebody is struggling, then we'll more than happy take time, like, set aside at the range and teach them the basics. If that's, like, a stance thing, if that's, you know, their holding of a gun, we'll take them outside of the range and let them practice before they go back on, you know, go back in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes people just need a little extra coaching. They just don't get it. You just have to correct them a little bit.
Well, it's not a problem. It's a learning curve, right?
So I was going to say, I guess you don't have a youth program then.
Well, our youth program is mainly the Young Guns program, I guess. I mean, I've been taking part in that for almost 2 years now, and I plan on actually getting directly involved with it next year. I'm pretty good friends with the person that runs it, so it's not exactly our club running it, but it's run by friends of our club, and, you know, we're the ones who are ROing it every time it runs. So without us, I mean, it would be a lot harder for them to operate. They wouldn't nearly be able to get as many children out there. So,
so the Buffalo program we were talking about today, that was at that club or that was another location?
That was at the Buffalo Target Shooters Association's private range, yeah.
Okay. So, Delana, what do you guys do? How do you promote your group? How do you get members to join it? Do you have, like, at the beginning of the school year, you have where the clubs are, have a showcase where everybody can come and see the different clubs available? Do it mainly through social media? How do you promote it?
So, a couple of different ways. Social media is a big thing. I mean, in today's day and age, everybody has social media, so we try and stay as current as possible on firearms-related issues and stuff like that. The recruitment side of social media isn't that high because, you know, what can you do? You can share something with your friends. I mean, it's not the same as physical contact with somebody and actually, you know, being able to explain to them why they should join this club. Mm-hmm. So that's why we do have a club. We have a club showcase every year that we're a part of. We also promote a lot during orientation week, so the week where all the first years come to the university and kind of get shown around before anybody else is there. So we always set up a booth and we try and get as many young shooters as possible, so first years as possible. Other than that, we have a local newspaper called The Metro, and every once in a while they'll write an article about us. They're more than happy to help us out with our recruitment.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so that's pretty much what we've been doing now. We're looking at other ways, because it's tough to recruit in the same location every year, like being at the UFC over and over again, because, well, you only get one new year of people in the sense that, like, only one year is, you know, one group of people is coming on every year, one group of people is leaving. That still leaves roughly 3 years of people that have already heard our speeches before. So it's kind of inefficient to advertise in the same location every year. So kind of what we're looking at is advertising at a different school every year and having it on like a four-year rotation, mm-hmm. kind of like farmers do with their crops, you know, crop rotation or whatever it's called. That's kind of what we're basing it off of, just so the school has the chance to repopulate with new students, and just so we'll be able to, our recruitment efforts will be a lot more efficient.
Have you had any negative public response?
Oh, well, of course, there's always negative public response. I mean, why should we have a gun club in school? Like, these students don't need firearms. They're depressed. They're X, they're Y. You know, it's not true. Like, everybody thinks that university students, or youth in general, are just a bunch of delinquents. And, you know, that's something that really has to change if the firearms community wants to progress in any way.
It's nothing like what it is in the States. In the States, there's a lot of school shooting teams, and it's very popular.
Oh, exactly. I mean, we'll look at their NRA university program as well. I mean, if we had something like that in Canada, then, you know, we'd be set. But unfortunately, there's no organization that would be willing to house, you know, an NFA university or something along those lines. You know what I'm talking? You know what I mean? Like, there's too much internal conflict with firearms in Canada, and it's just, it's horrible.
I think that a positive message that particularly you're doing with the younger shooters, but you, as well as Sean Humphreys from the Carleton University, you're getting out there and getting the message across, and you're getting the message across to not only students, but also professors and other people who share the same passions for shooting sports. I think that it's a positive for you.
It is.
No, I would agree with that as well. I mean, this wasn't exactly my goal when I started this club, but as of right now, like, what I want to do is I want to get, you know, a university club in every post-secondary institute in the country, if possible. Like, this is something that's completely viable, and mm-hmm. that's
have
what I
have. You converted many aunties yet?
Oh, of course. You know, what I like to tell some of our new executives or some of our members that are volunteering for us during orientation or during Clubs Week is that there's two types of people that will join this club no matter what. It's the people who are already gung-ho about it, and it's the people who are completely against it. Because they want to be right, and in order to be right, they have to try it out. And they will, and then, you know, come a month down the road, they're licensed, and they're a member of the club. It's nice to see.
It's all about education, right?
Oh, of course.
What better place than the university?
I did bring up, actually, up something a minute ago about getting other people involved in your club. You have not just students, you have professors, people. You don't have a limit on who can join the club, do you?
I know. We've been blessed with our students' union, so they allow us to have outside members to our club. Okay. So I believe we have to have something like 75% of our members have to be UFC undergrad students, okay. which is workable, I guess. But, you know, we have grad students that come out shooting. We have professors that have been involved with our club. We have people from other post-secondary institutions in the area who are involved in our club. We have members of the general public. You know, we have brothers, sisters, dads, moms, aunts, uncles. It's a good group of folks. It's just whoever wants to learn more about firearms and be exposed to the gun culture and gun community, well, welcome aboard.
Now, is there a cost for membership, or they just pay the individual fees whenever they go out?
So there's a $20 membership fee that we charge annually to our members. That just goes back into the club's pocket, just so we're able to provide stuff like free ammunition and provide discounts on, you know, on range entry, on stuff like that. It's also so we can afford to buy more firearms for club use, and we can fund trips for some of our more experienced members to go on to some of the ranges out of Calgary, such as, you know, Lethbridge and Edmonton, just because there are actually other university firearms clubs in both Lethbridge and Edmonton that have formed in, I guess, our image. So it's kind of cool.
That's good. Are you shooting competitions with them currently, or is it something that's just starting to come up a competition? Sorry, so, stumbling over more words.
Yeah, not a problem.
She's tired. She's had a long 2 days, man.
Yeah,
it's not a problem. Don't forget. I think I got the gist of it. So, previously this year, we actually did go down to Edmonton. I myself didn't personally go because I'm in mechanical engineering and I don't leave the house during midterm season. But we did send some members down to Lethbridge sometime this year, and there was a little competition between our members and their members. It was more just, you know, something for fun, just getting to know each other's clubs and just, you know, having the first by club firearms event in like who knows how many years. So it was pretty good.
Well, hopefully it can lead to some competitions in the future.
Oh yeah, of course. And we were also down in Edmonton in June for a gun show where the Canadian Historical Arms Society called an arms gun show. And we had a booth right next to the Student Firearms Association at NAIT. So yeah, the gun club at NAIT. So that was pretty cool. And we got to meet with all of their executives and talk politics and talk gun politics and all that fun stuff. So it was good.
Do you have any disabled shooters to get out? I imagine the Calgary Shooting Center is wheelchair accessible. It's a rather new building. Do you have any people out there with disabilities?
Not wheelchair-ridden people. But the facilities can all handle them. So, but we've never had a member who has a disability where it restricts their movement like that.
Well, all they really need is their upper body. If they want to do pistols, that's all they need is just upper body control.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Do you have so you were talking about the different firearms that they're able to borrow, but what do you see the majority of the members using or buying themselves, bringing to the club?
It's really hard to say. Like, there's a real wide variety. The caliber that gets purchased the most is 9mm, just because of its affordability. And, you know, you have your pistols, you have your carbines that might be caliber or might be chambered in that caliber as well. Like, I have a Kel-Tec Sub 2000 that I always let people use, which is chambered in 9mm as well. So that's always popular, just because we have a bunch of guns chambered in 9. Other than that, of course, 7.62x39 is always a popular one as well. We have SKSs, obviously. We have a couple of them. We have one that's just bare wood. We have one that's all decked out in, you know, quote-unquote tactical attire. So that's pretty cool. We're looking into getting a couple more firearms in 7.62x39 just because it's such a common caliber. Like, there's so much of it right now.
It's so cheap.
Yeah, I know, and we can provide it for free to our members, and that's really what it's all about. It's about discounting as much as possible. And if that means letting people shoot for free, then, you know, our goal's being accomplished. So,
well, not if I have to clean the SKS after somebody uses it.
That's okay. I have people for that. It's not a problem.
Oh, that's the only thing I hate about shooting corrosive ammo is that as soon as you get home, you've got to start the cleaning process, or it just starts to rot out.
Yeah, we have executives that's actually in their job description is after shooting events. They're in charge of the cleanup of all of our firearms. So
good idea. Good idea.
Okay. Do you have a message for any of our New Shooter Canada listeners about how the course of shooting for university clubs is progressing, or how to get the message out?
Honestly, if anybody is interested out there in creating a university firearms club, please do it, and please contact us, because that is our end goal. And the main thing that university clubs need is exposure to the public. Clubs like Lethbridge, clubs like Edmonton, they honestly aren't doing so well right now just because they can't house a proper executive team, just because they can't find committed executives, which is something that we have at our club have never had a problem with. But, you know, due to the size of their schools and some of the restrictions of their students' union, they are unable to find, executives to run their club, and they need help. So if anybody's from Edmonton or Lethbridge and is willing to help them, please do. If anybody is from Calgary and wants to get more involved in shooting or wants to learn more about our club, you know, please send us an email, and we'd be more than happy to accommodate your needs. So.
Sometimes it's really hard getting people involved, and you find out it's always the same people doing all the work all the time.
Oh, trust me, I know.
It's frustrating. You know, once you've gotten involved in it, sometimes you don't want to go back to it because the amount of work that is involved. But it's important, especially in the university. Lethbridge would be nice because my niece lives out there.
So if anybody is university level and is looking to start their own group, they can always contact you, and we'll have that information on our website and webpage. Or they can contact you via Facebook and that too.
Yeah, we'll put all the links in the show.
Yep.
Get to their webpage, have a look.
Okay. All right.
Listen, well, thank you very much, Delano. We appreciate your time tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'm sorry we both added it. We've been in this, well, Stacy. Kelly's been in the sun for 2 days straight.
Yeah, the sun today and yesterday was a monsoon, so. Yeah, but that's fine. It was it was good times. But yeah, thanks for actually coming on, and we delayed it by a week as well. So I appreciate your being able to rework your schedule and that for us.
Oh yeah, not a problem at all.
You just have to learn how to use Skype.
Yeah, I'm actually on my dad's account right now, not my own. So
I was telling Kelly, I was surprised. Like a young student didn't know how to use Skype.
Or, you know, you ask me to use Skype, I have problems. You ask me to take apart a firearm and clean it and reassemble it, well, you know, that's a different story.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's fine.
Well, listen, thanks a lot.
Yep, I'm glad we got together and got to have a chance to talk about your program, because it sounds fabulous.
Yeah, thank you, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
So if you do some more inter-club matches and stuff, give us a shout. And if you've got stuff that we can put up to promote it, let us know. We can put it on the page.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh. Yeah, I'll definitely let you guys know. I'm sure there'll be big things coming up in the future. So,
well, keep in contact with us, and we'll put links to the show for you.
Will do. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
Good night, Delano. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Delano, for joining us, and thank you for the interview. Okay, so that brings us to emails. And I think this is the last time we're recording with Thomas in his car.
My shift is officially over in 1 minute anyway, so.
Oh, excellent.
Then we get to hear you start the car and listen to music on the ride home?
No, I won't drive and do the Skype.
Okay. I think we need a train whistle. All right, so emails. Right. Kelly, how about you
take us off because we have one from Crystal Power. Crystal sent this to Thomas, but I'm going to read it since he's not able to see the notes. Since I'm a little round in the middle, I'd like the support of a wider belt for competition. We were talking about belts last week, so she sent this in response to that. I also wear it rather low because I have a really short back. Armpit draws look ridiculous. Not all ladies can and should put their competition belts on at waist level. And I agree with her on that. So, a lot of the dual belt systems commonly used at the moment don't have a way to torque the belt on tight, like cinching up like a horse. And I've noticed that as well. I like a really tight belt to keep my holster and pouches rock solid for a fast draw and reliable reloads. Bony shooters, that's not me, don't need their belts as tight as those who are at their ideal weight because their bones will do a better job of keeping everything still and it would be uncomfortable to cinch it as tight. Remember, always wear your belt and game gear the same to build a correct muscle memory. And if you're not sure how to set up your belt, ask an experienced shooter to help figure it out. Hint, it doesn't hurt if you have the same body type. And I'm thinking that she's talking about the experienced shooter. She's absolutely right. I like my belt cinched really tight. It also helps with when you're trying to do a quick draw and that as well, if it's stable and not having the wiggle when you're taking it out of the holster and that too. And absolutely, ask an experienced shooter if they can help figure it out. Great tips. What do you guys think?
It was nice for her to write in. It's a very good point.
Yeah.
I included a picture of a crystal setup, so to explain better what she was talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, and I see in the picture that she actually wears her regular belt and then the holster belt a little lower. So, yeah.
Whatever works for her.
Yep. Good. Cool. Good email. And so thank you, Crystal, for sending it in too and adding your input on the belts. Thank you.
And she liked the show on Facebook too. Cool.
Yeah. Great.
So events coming
thank
up.
Thank you for listening, downloading, and subscribing.
And like us on Facebook.
Yeah.
Actually, we got a couple of emails before events.
Okay. I can't see the emails, so I'm stuck at the events page.
Yep.
Great. So Ron wrote in. Ron from Ron Lucas from the Maple Seed attended first Canadian Maple Seed at Bancroft Fish and Game with my son Tyler. Had a great time and enjoyed meeting everybody.
Yay!
Thank you, Ron. It was nice meeting you and your son. Had a great time. And Ron came up to me and he kind of looks at me. You're George, right? And I'm like, yeah, from New Shooter Canada. Like, yeah, because I saw the shirt yesterday, but I wasn't sure. I'm like, oh my God, you're like my first listener that recognized me.
That's awesome.
You sure you didn't see your picture at the post office or something?
Yeah.
So it was pretty good. So we chatted for a couple minutes.
And Ron and Tyler were doing really well as well. So it was great. It was great the amount of listeners that were at Maple Seed. It was kind of freaky, but it was also kind of neat how many were there and have listened to the show.
We had five listeners there, didn't we?
We had five listeners that heard about the Maple Seed purely from us, just us. Excellent. Alone. Ron, I think Ron's a member at the club, so he heard it from both the club and the show, and then Doug listens as well, but he's a member at the club as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we had Doug and Ron were listeners and members, so they knew both from both ways. But yeah, we had five that were strictly from us.
And then a couple of people came because other people who were listeners found out about it. Mario.
Yeah, I think
came
that's what happened with Mark.
Rick.
Yeah, Mario. Yeah. I was just gonna say because one was a listener and told the other about it. So speaking of Rick, Rick wrote in. Rick is the gentleman that was doing the documentary, so he was going around getting some interviews afterwards, taking a ton of pictures. And so he wrote in, photos from the Bancroft Maple Seed are up. Nice meeting you guys. Thanks again for spreading the word, Rick. Now, I'll read out his email, but I'll also link it in the show notes as well. Or not his email, his webpage.
Now, he did a full story on his blog about the Apple Seed, or Maple Seed, did he not?
Yeah, he was going to, and I promised him that we'd put it on the Facebook page and that as well.
Oh, excellent. I'm looking forward to reading it.
And on the webpage.
Yeah, I'll read it off. I'll read it off. So if you want to go check him out, it's www.rkphoto.ca.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty straightforward. rkphoto.ca.
And he said that it was nice meeting us and thanks for spreading the word. But I also wanted to say that it was Rick was one of the guys that got his Maple Seed patch as well. So congratulations, Rick!
Yes.
Ready to go, Rick.
Yay!
Yeah, Rick, Doug, and Kevin.
So there was three. So that's actually pretty good compared to the fact that how many were there? 19 altogether?
Yeah, there's supposed to be 20. 19 showed up, so one of the tickets are being put over to the next one.
Right.
So yeah, 19 people.
So that's pretty good ratio.
Yeah, I was quite impressed with the tournament. Mm-hmm. That was really awesome. So yeah, so go check out his website. And I was on there briefly today. It looks like he's in the music industry or does a lot of work with the music industry, a lot of guitars and stuff. But right front and center is the Maple Seed. So rkphoto.ca.
Nice guy, too. Yep.
Very nice guy.
Yep. Okay.
Events, Mr. Thomas.
The CSSA has some training courses lined up. They haven't been putting these on their webpage, but the courses are listed in their newsletter. So if you don't get the CSSA newsletter, just go online and sign up. There's two courses coming up. They are teaching the club-level safety course in conjunction with Train the Trainer. And then they're also doing the RO course. The course is going to be held at their head office at 116 Galaxy Boulevard. And the next coming up will be August 22nd and 23rd. Currently, there is still room available. The only requirement is that you have to be a member of the CSSA to take the courses. And I think you're saying it was $45 per day, George?
Yep.
So the handgun safety course and Train the Trainer is a combination course. If you teach any type of course at all, you really do need Train the Trainer because it teaches you how to effectively admit the course to your students. Book now space is limited to 20 students. Please phone them Monday to Friday at 416-679-9959, and I believe it's Heather that you would speak to there. And they're asking if you're looking for any upcoming matches or stuff, contact the CSA webpage, and they'll put your events on their match calendar. Shout out to anybody?
We got one more event.
So if you're not going
it's buried. Okay.
Yep. So if you're not going to the CSSA training, then you on that weekend, the 22nd and the 23rd of August, you can go and do your black badge at the Rustigouche Gun Club.
Oh yes.
Yeah, Trevor Ferlatte is doing a black badge course. So if you want to be trained by somebody who's one of the best, go down there and do it. Just contact the guys at Slant and Fire, slantfireradio@gmail.com, and I believe it's $125 or $150 to do the course. It's for 2 days, and yeah.
Why is he doing a black badge course?
I thought you were going to the RO course.
I suggested doing one, but I'm trying to see if yeah. Anyways, I didn't know.
Well, we are in the planning process of doing our own charity shoot, and we need RO officers. And that weekend, coincidentally, the CSSA is putting on an RO course.
Yeah.
And there's only one of us qualified as an RO besides Kevin, so we need some more ROs.
Well, I want to do an RO too, Kevin. Trevor, do you want to do one of those too, and I'll back out of it?
No, I would. Yeah, back out of it.
I feel so awful because I said if he's doing one, I really want to come down and do it because I want to learn from the best, and he goes, I'm doing one. It's on August 22nd and 23rd. I'm going, oh my god. Okay, so
that's my birthday weekend. Just tell him you're coming to see me for my birthday.
Is it really birthday weekend?
Yeah, August 23rd.
I'll make you a cake. I'm busy making a cake that weekend.
And she's going to deliver it to London, Ontario.
Yeah. Well, I start trucking school that weekend. I get to learn how to drive the big boy.
When are you
trucks.
Doing the RO course then? RSO course?
I'll have to take one.
Okay,
next
I'll do it with you then. But yeah.
Or so you could take it August 22nd.
True.
Or, it's a Monday course.
Thank you, Thomas. So if you're looking for a black badge course from the best in New Brunswick, and there's some pretty awesome people that are going to be attending, contact Slamfire. And Trevor, I'll see what I can do. It's not just, you do know it's not just me, right? Anyways, okay, shout outs.
Yeah. Blame the dogs.
Thomas.
Well, you know
what? Thomas, shout out.
Shout out to Pierre and, I blanked on his wife's name, Jen?
Jen.
Jen, for the barbecue. It was great meeting everybody. And the guys from New York who put on the Appleseed for us, they did an awesome job.
Yeah, they did.
So shout out to the gang from New York. They didn't know about podcasts. They'd never listened to the show. They didn't know what a podcast was. So I told them that we've been promoting it.
Well,
they know now.
I know.
Because I told them we've been promoting it for a couple of months, and they wrote down our name, and I gave them Slamfire's name. So hopefully we'll have some new listeners down in New York State.
Yeah.
Way to promote the show that you're not on.
It's my second favorite show. We need more Owen, though. We need more Owen.
It was their favorite podcast. But I go, way to, you know, throw us under the bus there. Anyways.
So, is that it, Tom?
Yeah, that's it for shoutouts.
Okay, so I have Grant, Mike, and Sarah. Sorry, Grant, comma, Mike and Sarah, comma, Rick and Mario, comma, and Ron and his son Tyler. Listeners to the show that came out to the Maple Seed because they heard about it here. That's right, they heard about it here. We're famous. Thank you for coming. Anyways, it was very humbling. I was quite taken back. It was pretty cool that we had that kind of influence. Very, very humbling. You guys rock, and thanks for Doug who organized it and made a strong message to Appleseed that Canadians are hungry for this. Yeah, so.
I just wanted to say that, you know, I wanted to give a shout out to Grant for traveling 9 hours from north of Timmins to attend.
That was a long drive.
And he had to work this morning at 5 a.m. as well, so he finished up and he went home and did the long drive and then was doing work today. So I wanted a huge shout out to him. When you said that... when we first got there on Saturday morning, he came up and said, "Hey, you're Kelly. I'm Grant." And then he turned to George and said, "Hey, you're George. I'm Grant." And I went, "Oh my gosh!" And he says, "I listen to you guys all the time." And I'm going, "It is very, very, very humbling." And also to Mike, who doesn't double load the 22s.
Him and his girlfriend were sweethearts. They were very nice people.
We got to meet him and put a face to the email, and also to Sarah, who I shot beside, another lefty. Quick segue. There was 5 people who were lefties on the firing line.
Was there?
That's the high ratio, I thought.
And we had 3 girls shooting, too.
When I get up to the line, the whole world just seems to disappear. Yep.
So, and yeah, there was 3 girls, and one of them was Doug's daughter, and she was a cutie, and it was great to see her shoot and to see her progress over. I kept an eye on her, and I kept asking her if she was enjoying it and how she was doing, and she improved so much over the course of the weekend. And when I was leaving, I said to Doug, I said, "Did you enjoy it?" I said, "Thank you for organizing it. It was amazing." But I said, "Did you enjoy shooting with your daughter this weekend?" And he said, it was, he goes, "That's what it's all about." And I said, "Yeah, it is."
Excellent.
It looked like she was struggling at one point, and I thought she was going to pack it in.
She was struggling a bit, and she did have some issues with her rifle and that, and a huge shout out to Nick, who was the shoot boss, Josie Wales. He went over and he worked through it with her, and she continued on and she stuck with it. So that was,
she finished off the weekend.
She did well.
That was pretty awesome.
And that was a little bit of a segue. But I also wanted to say thank you to Mike and Sarah and Grant for offering the rooms to us on Saturday night for us to clean our rifles, because they were just hugely dirty, hugely wet. They had sand and everything in after the downpour. And because of the fact that somebody's bright idea to go camping.
Kelly. "Oh, look, this place is real close. I'm going to book it." And then Wanda's like, get the one closest to the washroom.
It was really close. It was only like a...
We were like right across from the washroom.
Sorry. Half a kilometer or a kilometer down the road from the gun club. So
it was like stupidly close,
but it was also stupidly wet on Saturday night when we...
Oh, well, Juan and I ended up in Mike and Sarah's room, and they were lifesavers, because I was able to get... have somewhere flat and comfortable that I could strip Thomas's gun and have no idea what I was doing and was hoping I did everything
yeah.
right.
Well,
I better test fire it before I take it shooting then.
Well.
Oh, no, it was shooting right up to the point I put it in the case. I think I got most of the sand out of it.
IDW4'd
it. I think.
He did a good job with cleaning it. It was shooting well. And I just wanted to say thank you very, very much because it was quite nice. But it was also showed what great listeners we have and what Canadians are about and what great shooters are all about. And we went out to dinner too and got to know them a little bit more. And that was really, really fun as well.
Yeah, that was probably the highlight of Saturday was just going out for dinner. The morning was pretty good shooting, but it just it was right around lunchtime, just after lunch, when it just the whole half of Saturday was just a write off.
Yeah. But so we're going to talk about that more on.
But
I have a correction. I have a correction. Last week we were talking about E-square.
Yes.
Oh, yes, you need to correct that.
It wasn't E-square. I was thinking, it was Maddie that I was thinking of, who actually has the, I think she has her orange hat now. So it's, yep. E-square is not an, she's not a blue hat either. She just calls the line. So I apologize. It was Maddie I was thinking of, and I said E-square had the same qualifications.
I thought she wasn't a blue hat.
No, apparently not.
Oh, okay.
But I think Maddie's got her orange hat now.
Maddie does have her orange hat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rubber girl.
So.
Yeah, she is. Oh, gosh. Anyways. Oh, to be that young again.
Alright, so we're this looks like it's turning into a bit of a marathon show, yeah. So let's...
it is what it is.
Closing comments?
It is... What's
it
that?
It is what it is.
No, what did Thomas...
I said time for closing comments, then.
Oh, closing comments. I'm so glad I'm the lead host, Thomas. I do such a great job on 2-hour shows. Okay. How about we move on to closing comments?
Excellent idea, George. Thanks for
the idea, George.
Great idea. So keep sending your emails, questions, iTunes reviews our way. We'll keep reading them, and George will keep butchering them. And don't forget to make topic suggestions.
And so
if you have... If there's anything you guys want to hear, want to know about, email the show, and we'll get Thomas to do the research for you.
And again, it's really humbling to actually know that there's more than one person listening to this besides Trevor Ferlotti.
Yeah.
It was funny when I went to the Gunny Barbecue, I had a lot of people come up to me and knew who I was. It was very humbling. And of course, Tracy Wilson was introduced me to everybody as Thomas from the Shooter Canada anyway, so that was kind of bizarre, but it was humble.
That's pretty cool, though, right?
We should get cards.
Yeah.
Little business card.
Thomas, you should get us all cards.
We get pictures of the Three Stooges on them?
Hey, we finally got a picture of the three of us.
That's a nice picture, too.
It is.
Okay.
All right, so thank you for downloading, subscribing, and listening. All that jazz. Wanda will... give you all the email and you know what? I added a contact page to the website. So if you don't want to mess around with email and having to type it all in and yada yada, go to the email or go to the website, go to contact us. There's a form there. Fill it out. That's what Rick and Ron did. And it is super slick. And it comes straight to my phone. And Kelly and Thomas don't get to see it until
I
show. Yeah,
he's still vetting everything. We're not allowed to have any contact with
him. It's a power issue.
I think it is.
I'm protecting the listeners from you
guys. Yes.
Oh, this is true. That's they need protection start. From us.
So, until next time, keep your barrels pointed downrange and smoking.
And take a kid shooting.
And keep shooting classy.
Good night, everybody.
San Diego. Good night.
Big or small. Thank you for taking the time and listening to our show. Our audience is important to us, and we encourage our listeners to contact the show with feedback, suggestions, or questions that you may have. You can contact the guys at hosts@newshootercanada.ca. And please like our Facebook page. Thanks for listening, and have a groovy day. God made the animals, and God made the trees.
God made you, well, hell, he even made me. He gave me this voice so I could be a singer. So you tell me why I've got a trigger finger. I like guns, I like the way they look. I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small. They're for sale, well, hell, I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.